If you dig the twisted, admire the outlandish, and are enamored by the unusual, you're in the right place. True crime, the supernatural, the unexplained, now you're speaking our language. If you agree, join us as we dive into the darker side. You know, because it's more fun over here. Welcome to Total Conundrum.
Warning, some listeners may find the following content disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Ha 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 ha.
Imagine this. You're floating through the narrow, misty canals just south of Mexico City. The water is still. The trees hang low, and there's an unsettling silence broken only by the occasional splash of water. Or was that something else? As you drift further into the heart of Xochimilco canals, you spot it, an island where lifeless eyes stare at you from every direction. Dolls, hundreds of them, hanging from the trees, nailed to the walls, strung from makeshift altars, weather-beaten, missing limbs, some smiling eerily, while others with gaping sockets where their eyes used to be.
Yeah, and before you ask, no, this isn't the aftermath of a Barbie versus Chucky apocalypse. This is real. Welcome to the Island of Dolls, a place where the line between folklore, fear, and fact is as murky as the water that surrounds it.
And if you're thinking, well, that sounds like a delightful little getaway, we've got news. This place isn't your average tourist trap. It's been called one of the creepiest places on earth. And once you hear the story behind it, you might just agree, or you might start checking for dolls in your backyard. Either way, we got you.
Today, we're diving headfirst into one of Mexico's most infamous legends. We'll unravel the mysterious life of Don Julian Santana, the reclusive caretaker of this bizarre island, the chilling tale of a drowned girl, and the legacy of fear and fascination that's turned this remote spot into a paranormal hotspot.
We'll also explore what it's like today, from the decaying dolls that haunt the island to the strange paranormal encounters reported by the brave, or just plain crazy visitors. Plus, we'll look into why dolls are so damn creepy in the first place. Like, seriously, what's with dolls and hauntings? Can't ghosts haunt like houseplants or something?
Yeah, right. This ficus is definitely cursed. No thanks. I'll take the haunted dolls over haunted ferns any day. At least dolls don't need watering.
Sure, Mr. Braveheart. We'll see who's laughing when one of those dolls starts following you home. But before we unleash this nightmare, let's set the stage.
Let's talk Xochimilco. This region is just south of Mexico City, and it's known for its ancient network of canals and man-made islands, or chinampas, created by the Aztecs. You can still ride through the canals today on colorful boats called trajineras, usually with mariachi music and tacos involved.
Yeah, normally it's a festive vibe, except for when you head to this island, where the only music might be the wind or a doll whispering in your ear. And get this, Xochimilco is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, which makes this creepy corner of it even more surreal. Like, here's some world-class culture, and oh yeah, don't mind the haunted dolls watching you eat your tacos.
So buckle up, Conundrum Crew. We're taking you on a journey through folklore, fear, and the fascinating mind of a man who devoted his life to appeasing the spirit of a little girl and hung dolls in the trees to keep her at peace. Or was it to keep something darker at bay?
Grab your flashlights, secure your plushies, and maybe don't listen alone. Because once you hear the story of the Island of Dolls, you might never look at a toy the same way again.
All right, before we get any deeper into this doll-infested nightmare, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you're listening. Drop us a review on Apple or Spotify, and if you're watching on YouTube, hit that notification bell so you never miss a chance to get creeped out with us. Your support keeps Total Conundrum alive and kicking, unlike some of these dolls. Got your own spooky stories or episode ideas? Hit us up at TotalConundrum.com or you can find us lurking on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We love hearing from you, our Conundrum crew.
And because we know you're here for the weirdest true crime and mind-bending mysteries this world has to offer, be sure to stick around after the episode. We've got some killer trailers from our podcast pals over at Hauntscast. You're going to love what they're cooking up. But for now, let's drift back into the misty canals of Xochimilco, where dolls hang in silence, spirits whisper through the trees, and one man's obsession turned a peaceful island into one of the most chilling legends Mexico has ever known.
We'll be back after these messages.
What's up, everybody? This is Mark Pellegrino, otherwise known as Lucifer's favorite meat suit. Giving a shout out to the Total Conundrum podcast. That's right. It's a true crime and paranormal podcast. Their hosts, Tracy and Jeremy, are looking forward to you visiting their podcast and being conundrumed. The Conundrum crew, the folks who listen to the podcast already, are fans, and I know you'll become a fan too. All you gotta do is do what you do with Lucifer. If he asks, can I possess you? You just say yes. Say yes to the Total Conundrum podcast. Peace.
And back to the show.
So, who was the man behind the dolls? The mind that turned an unassuming island into a shrine of nightmares. Meet Don Julian Santana Barrera, born in 1921 in rural Mexico. Now, Don Julian wasn't just some random guy with a doll obsession. He was a man of faith, solitude, and let's be honest, a bit of mystery. Around the 1950s, he left behind his family, including a wife and children, and chose a life of isolation on a small island deep in the Xochimilco canals.
And let's just pause there, because leaving your family to go live alone with dolls on an island, that's a next level midlife crisis right there.
Forget a sports car. This man said, you know what I need? An army of moss-covered dolls and some solid ghost vibes.
Honestly, who needs a social life when you've got 1,000 plastic faces silently judging your every move?
But here's the thing. Don Julian didn't go to the island for peace and quiet. He believed he was called there by spirits. He was deeply religious and had strong beliefs in the supernatural. Locals say he was sensitive to the energy of the land. And what happened next only fueled that belief.
According to legend, sometime in the early 1950s, a young girl drowned in the canal near Don Julian's island. The story goes that he found her lifeless body tangled in the water's edge. He tried to save her, but it was too late. And here's where things take a dark turn. A short time later, a doll floated to the surface of the canal, right where the girl died. For Don Julian, this wasn't just debris, it was a sign.
He believed that the doll was a manifestation of the girl's spirit, or maybe even a message from beyond. To honor her, or to appease whatever restless soul lingered, he hung the doll from a tree. It was the first, but it wouldn't be the last.
Not even close. What started as a tribute became an obsession. Over the next 50 years, Don Julian collected hundreds of dolls. Some he found in the canals, others he bartered for in nearby markets, and eventually visitors who heard of the island started bringing dolls as offerings.
But it wasn't just a hobby, it was a mission. Don Julian believed that these dolls protected him. He said they kept the girl's ghost and other spirits at bay. Some say he felt watched by the dolls, while others think he believed they housed souls, maybe even cursed ones.
Here's where it gets weird, or weirder. There's no documented proof that the girl ever existed. No name, no family, no records of a drowning. Some locals think she was a figment of Don Julian's imagination, born from isolation, guilt, or spiritual torment.
So was this a real tragedy, or the creation of a man haunted by something only he could see? This is our myth or memory moment. Was she real or a symbol? Maybe of all the lost souls that were drowned in the canals over centuries.
Or maybe she was a manifestation of his own loneliness. Imagine living alone for decades, surrounded by dolls, silence, and the whispers of the water. That'd mess with anyone's head.
Whatever the truth was, Don Julian was devoted to his cause and the island. It slowly transformed into a macabre wonderland. Dolls strung up everywhere, in trees, on fences, even in a shack that became kind of a doll altar. Some are missing limbs, others have blank stares, cracked faces, or sinister smiles. And the strangest part, some visitors swear the dolls are alive, moving, watching, and whispering.
Which brings us to the final chapter in Don Julian's story. In April of 2001, after nearly 50 years on the island, Don Julian drowned in the same canal where the girl allegedly died, April 17th to be exact.
Here's where the hairs on your neck might stand up. His nephew, who found the body, said Don Julian had been acting strange in the days before his death, claiming to see mermaids in the water, speaking of death approaching, and hinting that something was calling to him.
I mean, talk about full circle. The same waters that supposedly took the girl took him too. Coincidence or something darker?
To this day, some believe he was claimed by the same spirit he tried to appease. Others say it was the will of the dolls, or perhaps fate catching up to a man who lived his life in the shadow of death.
Whatever the truth, Don Julian's legacy lives on in every cracked doll face, every rustling tree, and every chill that creeps down your spine when you look too long into hollow eyes. All right, so here's the thing. Don Julian's death wasn't just creepy because of the timing or the location. His nephew, Anastasio, who lived with him in those final years, has shared some truly unsettling details, stuff that'll have you second-guessing every sound you hear at night.
Anastasio says that in the days leading up to his uncle's death, Don Julian wasn't sleeping. He'd wake up in the middle of the night, muttering to the dolls, saying that they were talking to him, and not just in whispers. He claimed they screamed at him, warnings, demands, and laughter.
Can you even imagine? Middle of the night, pitch black, and your uncle's holding up a doll, arguing with it, saying, "I've done what you've asked. Leave me alone."
But it gets darker. One night, Don Julian told Anastasio that the dolls had changed. Their eyes were moving. Their heads turned to follow him. And the mermaids he saw, he said they weren't beautiful. They were rotten with sharp teeth. And they sang to him from under the water.
Yeah, nope. Absolutely not. Demon mermaids singing lullabies? That's a one-way ticket off the island for me.
Anastasio swears he heard the singing too. Says he woke up one night and heard the sound of a girl humming right outside the shack. He went out, and guess what? One of the dolls had moved. It was hanging in a different tree than the day before.
Oh, and get this. He said that even now, long after Don Julian's death, he sometimes finds fresh footprints in the mud near the water. Small footprints, like a child's bare feet. No explanation, no visitors, just prints leading to the water and then gone.
Some locals believe that Don Julian's spirit is still there, watching over the dolls. Others think he's trapped, just another soul among the many tied to that island. Anastasio has even said he's seen his uncle's shadow walking along the trees, only to vanish when he calls out.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate the dedication here? Like, hey, Uncle's ghost is pacing again. Better go make him some coffee and offer up another doll.
That's family for you. Haunted or not, you gotta show up.
But all jokes aside, Anastasio still maintains the island today, keeps the dolls intact, and welcomes visitors. And if you ask him whether it's haunted, he won't hesitate. He says the spirits are real and the dolls are alive.
So the next time you see an old doll at a garage sale, maybe don't bring it home. You never know whose spirit it's carrying or what it's waiting for.
Coming up, we're going to take you to the island today, what it looks like, what people have experienced, and why you might want to keep your head on a swivel if you ever decide to visit.
Today, the island of dolls is no longer just a hidden haunt of one man. It's become one of Mexico's most infamous paranormal sites, And let me tell you, it's not that kind of place you just stumble across. Getting there is a bit of a journey.
Yeah, it's not like there's a creepy doll Uber waiting to take you out there. You've got to hop on one of those colorful flat-bottom boats that float through the Xochimilco canals. Normally, they're used for parties, mariachi music, food, drinks, and a good time.
Until you take a detour into the haunted doll territory, where the music fades and all you hear is the wind in the trees and the occasional sound of something rustling where no one's standing.
Seriously, the moment you spot the island, it hits you. Trees dripping with dolls, strung from branches like twisted art installations, their faces weathered and cracked, with moss creeping across plastic limbs. And yeah, some have eye sockets that stare right through you.
The dolls have been out there for decades, exposed to the elements, insects, and time. Some are missing arms, legs, and even heads. Others are covered in spider webs, with bugs crawling in and out of their hollow bodies. It's like nature itself joined in on the horror vibe.
Yeah, nothing says welcome like a spider-infested doll head smiling at you from a tree stump. Honestly, I'd rather face a ghost than a nest of canal spiders. No, thank you.
I'm just saying, if the dolls don't scare you, the insects might. It's not just the visuals. Visitors often report feeling watched. Like, you can't shake that feeling that hundreds of eyes are tracking your every move. Which, to be fair, is technically true. Doll eyes everywhere.
People have claimed to hear whispers in the trees, childlike giggles, even dolls moving, heads tilting, arms shifting, sometimes right in front of them. Some tourists have even said their devices malfunction or they feel cold spots despite the hot, humid air.
Now, if you're thinking about grabbing a souvenir, don't. Local guides and residents warn visitors, never take anything from the island. Not a doll, not a rock, not even a stick. They believe doing so angers the spirits, and stories of people suffering accidents or misfortune after stealing from the island are, well, plentiful.
But if you want to leave something, that's a different story. Some locals bring dolls as offerings, a way to honor the spirits or maybe keep them pacified. It's become kind of a ritual. People bring new dolls, tie them to the trees, and sometimes even write messages on them.
Especially during the Day of the Dead, that's when things get extra creepy and meaningful. The island becomes a place where offerings to the dead are intensified. Candles, food, dolls, everything. Designed to honor lost souls, including, some believe, the spirit of the drowned girl and Don Julian.
It's kind of beautiful in a haunting way, right? Like, the island itself just isn't creepy. It's culturally significant. It's tied to how people in Mexico honor the dead, interact with the spirits, and respect the power of the supernatural.
Also, worth noting, the island is still privately owned. Don Julian's family, especially Anastasio, continues to maintain it. They've turned it into a place that's part tourist destination, part spiritual site, and part living legend. It's not easy to access, and most visitors need to arrange a private tour or go with an experienced local guide. And the island's reputation.
And let's be real, you're not going there alone. No one's just wandering up to this place for a casual stroll. You go because you want to feel the fear, see the dolls, and maybe experience something unimaginable. And from what people say, you probably will.
The island today is a mix of history, horror, and honor. A place where one man's obsession became legend, and where thousands of dolls hang in silence, guarding, watching, and maybe waiting. All right, Conundrum Crew, it's time to talk about the paranormal activity that puts this island on every ghost hunter's bucket list, and on every rational person's absolutely not list. Let's just say, this place isn't famous just for the creepy dolls. It's what those dolls might be doing that keep people coming back, or running away.
Visitors from all over the world have made the trek to the Island of Dolls, and while some leave with just weird photos and bug bites, others leave with stories, ones they swear are true. We're talking dolls moving, voices in the wind, and even being touched by something unseen.
Let's start with some first-hand accounts. One tourist said she was walking along the island when she felt her shirt get tugged, like a little kid trying to get her attention. She spun around. No one was there, except a doll with its hands raised in her direction. And yes, she left immediately.
Another visitor reported hearing giggles, not once, but several times, always when they turned away from the dolls. And get this, they took a video, and on playback, there was a child's voice, clear as day, whispering, "Why are you here?"
All right, let's talk EVPs, electronic voice phenomena. Paranormal investigators have visited the island and captured distorted voices on the recordings. One popular EVP captured what sounds like a child crying, and another, even freakier, is a voice repeating, "Get out," over and over and over again.
I mean, if a doll tells me to get out, I'm getting out. End of story. Burn the boat, delete the photos, I'm done.
I'd stick around just to see what happens, you know, for science.
You and your science. One day, you're going to be the guy who gets possessed by a Victorian doll with a grudge.
If that happens, I'm naming it Jeremy 2.0. Let's go!
All right, Braveheart. Let's get into some local doll legends. Local caretakers say that some dolls choose where they want to hang. They've reported finding dolls moved overnight, hung in new spots with no explanation. It's as if the dolls are rearranging themselves, and not for feng shui.
And there's one doll in particular that gets a lot of attention, La Monita. Visitors claim they've seen her blink, tilt her head, or turn her face towards them. One guest swore they saw her mouth move, like she's trying to speak. That guest never been back.
And while we're piling on the nightmare fuel, some tourists report seeing shadows dart between the trees or feeling cold spots, even on hot days. One guy claimed his camera battery drained instantly, then flickered back on just long enough to capture a blurry image of what looked like a face in the trees.
Now, let's be real. Not everyone buys into this. Some people say that the power of suggestion is what's really at play here. You show up to a haunted island covered in dolls, your brain's going to start filling in the blanks. Creepy atmosphere plus imagination equals hauntings.
True. But how do you explain EVPs, move dolls, and multiple people having the same experiences? Like, is it just coincidence? Or is there something real here?
That's the debate, right? Skeptics say it's all mass hysteria, group psychology, or natural phenomena. Wind, shadows, bugs playing tricks on your senses. Believers, they're convinced this island is a portal, a thin spot between worlds where spirits can interact. And maybe dolls can too.
And even if half of it's true, that's enough to keep me off that island at night.
Whether it's ghosts, imagination, or something darker, the island of dolls continues to draw the curious, the brave, and the foolish. And some of them don't come back the same.
Coming up, we're going to explore why dolls are so terrifying in the first place. What is it about those little lifeless eyes and plastic smiles that gets under our skin? All right, let's hit you with some actual quotes from visitors who made the trip to the island and probably regretted it immediately. Here are our picks of the top three creepiest things people have said after visiting the Island of Dolls.
All right, first quote. I took a picture of a doll. When I looked at it later, there was a face in the window behind it. No one was there on the island but me. End quote. Yeah, or maybe it was a reflection, a trick of the light, or I don't know, your imagination doing cartwheels. Either way, I'm not losing sleep over a window smudge ghost.
I would. Okay, here's the second quote. As I was walking past a group of dolls, one of them whispered my name. I didn't tell anyone my name.
All right, now that's interesting. A doll whispering your name without anyone knowing it? I wouldn't run, but I'd try to figure out how. Was it a coincidence, a trick, or something really watching? Either way, I'm sticking around to find out. Someone's got to get the answers. And let's be honest, it's not going to be you. You'd already be halfway back to the boat screaming.
You are absolutely right. I would be halfway back to the boat, but not screaming. strategically retreating while yelling helpful advice like, "Don't die, Jeremy. Someone's got to live to tell the story." And spoiler alert, it's going to be me.
Rude. Oh, but don't worry. I'll make it out just fine. And while you're strategically retreating, I'll be over here making peace with the dolls and solving the mystery. All right, here is the final quote. One of the dolls turned its head towards me. I thought it was the wind until it winked. Ooh.
Y'all, how does a doll even wink? That's either a paranormal event or someone's out there installing motorized nightmare toys. I swear, if one of those dolls winks at me, I'm setting the whole island on fire. Bye-bye, evil toy story.
There it is, folks. The official Tracy Conundrum Protocol. See something creepy? Immediate arson. At this rate, between the island, the Winchester Mansion, and Bobby Mackey's, you're going to end up on every paranormal watch list. And probably a few fire department ones, too.
Okay, Mr. I Love Dolls Now. Since you're so brave, here's a challenge for you. If we ever, and that's a big if, go to the Island of Dolls, you've got two options. Pick wisely, wise guy. First option, spend 10 minutes alone with La Monita, the doll that moves her head and talks to people. No flashlight, just you and her bonding. Second option, sleep overnight on the island in Don Julian's old shack surrounded by dolls and try to not make any new doll friends.
Please, that's not even a challenge. I'll take option C. Hang out with La Monita, get her life story, maybe teach her some poker, and then I'll stroll into Don Julian's shack, take a nap, and wake up just fine. Meanwhile, you'll be halfway back to the mainland Googling how to ghost-proof your house.
Oh yeah, the dolls would definitely love you. They'd probably make a whole shrine. Little Jeremy, complete with a mini flannel, tiny recorder for EVPs, and a pull string that says, "I'm not scared, you are." Boom. Haunted merch line unlocked.
Fantastic. I've become possessed product placement. Get your official Little Jeremy doll now. Built in with sass, skepticism, and a fully functional ghost detector. That probably doesn't work. Comes with three catchphrases. "I'm not scared, you are." "That's not paranormal, that's bad wiring." "Tracy, stop lighting things on fire." "Order now. Some hauntings may apply."
Okay, but where's the little Tracy? Comes with a tiny flamethrower, sass-loaded side eye, and catchphrases like, "Nope, burn it." That's how horror movies start. "I told you not to touch it, Jeremy." Warning, may spontaneously combust in haunted locations, you know, for safety.
Oh, don't worry. I've already got the jingle locked and loaded. Ready? They blink with sass. They haunt with class. Little Jeremy and Tracy dolls here at last. With ghostly flair and tiny gear. They haunt your shelf and disappear.
Okay. I hate how much I love that. It's creepy, catchy, and now it's 100% stuck in my head forever. Well done, jingle genius. All right, real talk. Why are dolls so creepy? I mean, they're just toys, right? Little plastic figures meant for kids. But somewhere along the lines, dolls went from adorable playtime companions to soul-stealing vessels of doom.
Yeah, this isn't just random. There's a legit psychological reason behind it. It's called the uncanny valley effect. Basically, it's the weird discomfort we feel when something looks almost human, but not quite. Our brains recognize it as not being alive. It's also too close for comfort. And boom, hello, unease.
So basically our brains are like, that thing should blink, but it's not. That's a big no from me. It's like when you see a ventriloquist dummy or, I don't know, a lifelike wax figure that feels like it's about to come to life and ruin your day.
Exactly. Dolls sit right in the middle of the creepy spectrum. Human-like features, blank expressions, staring eyes, but zero life. Or at least that's what we hope.
And it's not just like the uncanny valley. There's a cultural fear around dolls being possessed or cursed. Like, every culture has its own version of the haunted doll. And Mexico? Not an exception.
We'll be back after these messages.
Everybody loves a good ghost story, From the renowned haunting of the Amityville Horror House to the lesser-known curse of the Bassano Vase, legends of the ghostly and macabre have been fascinating and frightening us for centuries. But have you ever wondered if there's any truth behind the lore? Over the last 8 years that I've spent as a paranormal researcher, I have constantly asked one important question. Is this a hoax, or could it truly be a haunt? I'm Courtney Hayes, host of the podcast Haunts, where every week I dissect another ghostly legend in an effort to find the truth that lies within. Listen to Haunts for free on your favorite podcasting app, and help me to unveil the unknown.
And back to the show.
Right. In Mexican folklore, dolls often serve as protection charms, spiritual vessels, or even curses. Some families place amulet dolls to ward off evil, while others believe dolls can host spirits, either friendly or, you know, vengeful entities looking for revenge.
Which brings us to La Llorona, the Weeping Woman. She's like Mexico's ultimate ghost story, a woman who drowned her own children, and now her spirit wanders near water, crying out for them. Sound familiar?
Yep. Drowned girl, haunted canals, restless spirits, the parallels with the Island of Dolls are wild. Some believe the story of the girl on the island is just another version of La Llorona, or maybe inspired by her legend. Either way, the connection to water and lost souls is a theme that runs deep.
It's like this island is La Llorona's playground, and instead of her kids, it's dolls watching you, whispering, and maybe waiting for her return.
Now, let's zoom out a bit. Let's talk about two of the most infamous cursed dolls in history, because apparently, doll-based trauma is a global phenomenon.
First up, Robert the Doll from Key West, Florida. Given to a boy named Robert Otto in the early 1900s, and let's just say, things got weird fast. The family claimed Robert the Doll moved on his own, changed facial expressions, and caused accidents. Now he's locked in a glass case in a museum, and they say if you don't ask his permission before taking a photo, he'll curse you.
Then there's Annabelle, the so-called real-life inspiration for the Conjuring movies. The actual doll was Raggedy Ann, not the porcelain nightmare from the film. But the story's still terrifying. She's said to be possessed by a demonic entity, locked in a glass case at the Warren's Occult Museum with a big fat sign that says, "Do not touch."
I mean, Raggedy Ann, but make it satanic. Hard pass.
So here's the big question. Can objects actually retain spiritual energy, or is it all about belief? Some say tragedy and trauma can attach energy to objects, especially ones tied to children or death. Others argue it's fear itself that gives these things power.
Like, if you believe a doll is haunted, maybe that belief is enough to make it feel real, or at least make you act like it is. Fear is a powerful thing.
Yeah, in places like Island of the Dolls, they're kind of amplifiers for that fear. History, tragedy, belief, and the creepy visuals all mashed together. And suddenly, that doll with the cracked face and moss hair feels a lot more alive than it should.
All right, folks. It's time for a very scientific, absolutely peer-reviewed rating system we like to call the Doll Fear Scale, because not all dolls are created equally terrifying, and it's time we rank them from mildly creepy to Burn It Tracy style.
This scale is entirely legit, patented by absolutely no one, and should never be used in actual psychological evaluations, unless you want to scare somebody straight into therapy.
Level 1, Grandma's Porcelain Doll Collection. Kind of unsettling, definitely fragile, just sits there judging you from the display case. Low risk, unless it moves.
Level 2, found in an abandoned house. Eyes slightly too real, maybe a little dusty, possibly possessed by a Victorian child ghost. Proceed with caution, and maybe holy water.
Level 3, doll with missing limbs and one eye. Looks like it's been through 7 exorcisms and won most of them. You're definitely not sleeping tonight if this thing's in your room.
Level 4, doll that whispers your name. All right, now we're talking. If a doll knows my name, I'm asking what else it knows. Let's get some answers. Interview time. Worst case, I end up as a paranormal legend. Could be worse.
Level 5, doll that moves, smiles, and winks. Yeah, that's not a doll. That's a one-way ticket to Nightmare Town. I'm boxing that freaking thing up and mailing it to Abu Dhabi Garfield style. Let somebody else bond with Winkers McCreeps.
All right, Tracy, which level's your personal nightmare?
Level 5, no question. A doll that moves, smiles, and winks? Nah, that thing's got main character energy in a horror movie, and I'm not trying to be the sequel. How about you?
Honestly, level 5 is just a Tuesday. If it winks, I wink back. Respect the game.
You know what? Go ahead and bond with the dolls. Next thing I know, I'll see you leading a haunted doll army, waving from Don Julian's shack like, look who's the captain now.
All right, Conundrum Crew, where do you rank on the doll fear scale? Are you level 1 chill or level 5 meltdown? Let us know. Tag us. Message us. Send us your creepiest doll pics.
Just don't mail us any dolls, okay? Unless you want that doll returned with salt, sage, and a restraining order.
Or do mail them. I'm building an army. And the first one I will name Winkers McCreeps. And he needs backup.
Absolutely not. I am not co-hosting this podcast from the center of your haunted doll uprising, Jeremy. First, it'll be Winkers McCreeps. Then it's Dollapalooza 2025. Hard pass. All right. So after everything we've talked about, the legend, the creepy dolls, the paranormal encounters, there's still one big question left hanging. Is the Island of Dolls a true paranormal site, or is it just an elaborate urban legend?
Honestly, it's probably a little of both. Like most ghost stories, the island sits right at the intersection of truth and folklore. There was a real man, Don Julian. There was a real island, and there are thousands of dolls watching you as we speak. Whether there's actual paranormal activity, that depends on who you ask or how brave you are.
And that's what makes it so powerful. The mystery is part of the magic. People want to believe. They show up with their own fears, beliefs, and stories, and the island gives them exactly what they're looking for. Whether that's a thrill, a connection to the spirit world, or just nightmares for the rest of their life.
It's also become a massive influence on pop culture. The Island of Dolls has inspired movies, books, horror podcasts, and even VR horror games. Yep, now you can visit Doll Island virtually from the safety of your couch. But that doesn't mean you're not going to be possessed.
Because nothing says fun weekend like being chased by digital dolls in VR while screaming into your headset and running into walls. It's like cardio, but with trauma.
Global doll horror, it's its own phenomena. Whether it's Annabelle, Chucky, Robert the Doll, or haunted doll TikToks, we are collectively obsessed with the idea of innocent toys turning evil. The Island of Dolls just takes it and amps it up 1,000.
But here's the thing, we've got to ask, is it okay to turn these places into entertainment? There's a real history of death, fear, and possible tragedy tied to the island. So let's talk dark tourism. Are we preserving folklore or are we exploiting someone's pain?
On one hand, sharing stories, honoring history, and connecting with cultural legends can be their form of respect, keeping the past alive and educating people. On the other hand, if it's all about selfies with creepy dolls and ignoring the history, then yeah, that's where things get murky.
It's a fine line, right? Curiosity versus disrespect. If you go to the island with reverence, learn about Don Julian's life, and respect local beliefs, then maybe it's a way to honor the legend. But if you're out there mocking it or vandalizing stuff, that's when it becomes exploitative.
And from what we've seen, most people respect the place. It's not just about fear. It's about wonder, mystery, and the power of storytelling. The island is part of Mexico's cultural landscape now. A symbol of how legends evolve and how beliefs can turn a place into something more.
Whether it's real or not, the Island of Dolls has become a living legend, and the dolls, the drowned girl, and Don Julian's spirit, they're part of something bigger than one man's obsession. They're part of our global fascination with fear and the stories we tell ourselves to make sense of the unknown.
So whether you see it as folklore, fear, or fact, one thing's for sure, the Island of Dolls is a place you won't forget. and maybe one you'll dream about tonight.
I sure hope not. Coming up, we'll wrap this all up with our final thoughts, a little fact versus myth debate, and a teaser for what mystery we're diving into next.
All right, Conundrum Crew, time to face the music, or in this case, the dolls. We've got one question for you.
Would you visit the Island of Dolls? Are you team heck yes, bring on the dolls, or team absolutely not, I value my soul and sanity?
Vote in our Instagram story poll. Drop us a message or tag us in your own haunted travel bucket list. Bonus points if you Photoshop yourself hanging with the dolls. Extra bonus points if you're not real.
And if you have been there, we want your stories. Creepy, weird, or hilarious. We'll feature our favorites in a future episode. Maybe even bring someone on to talk about their haunted island adventure.
Think we could book Zach Bagans? He's been there, right? Although, with his fear of dolls, we might have to promise not to mail him Winkers McCreeps just to get him on the show.
Honestly, Zach would probably lock Winkers McCreeps in his haunted museum and give him his own glass case and spotlight. Star attraction, the doll that winked at me once. Visitors must sign a waiver.
You know what? I'd visit. Gotta support my boy Winkers. Living his best life. Haunted life. I'd show up like, that's my guy. I gave him his first creepy home. Now look at him. Behind glass, scaring tourists. Proud papa moment. Yeah.
Hey, now we need Winkers McCreep merch too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, what makes the Island of Dolls so terrifying? Is it the dolls themselves, the tragic legend, or the way it all ties into our deepest fears about death, spirits, and things that watch us when we're alone?
I think it's all of that. It's the history, the mystery, and the nagging thought that maybe, just maybe, some places really are haunted. And even if they're not, our minds make them haunted enough.
We may never know the whole truth about Don Julian, the drowned girl, or the dolls that watch from the trees, but that's part of the allure, right? The unsolved, the unseen, the unknown.
So whether you're a skeptic, a believer, or somewhere in between, one thing's for sure, the Island of Dolls has earned its place in folklore, fear, and fascination. And if you ever decide to visit, just don't take anything home with you. Not a doll, not a twig, nothing.
Because you never know what or who is coming back with you.
Thanks for hanging out with us on this creepy journey through the haunted waters and doll-filled nightmares. Don't forget to rate, review, and share if you survived. And if you didn't, we'll assume your doll wrote this review for you.
And stay tuned, because next episode, we're diving into a case that's as heartbreaking as it is haunting. A young woman goes missing, and what follows is a tangled web of clues, grief, and a devastating truth that you won't see coming. We're telling the story of Sarah Good, a Conundrum Crew story request from our amazing listener, Summer Rain.
Until next time, keep your dolls in check, your lights on, and your total conundrum vibe strong.
Keep on creeping on. We love you.
Bye. Thanks for hanging out with us here at Total Conundrum. Please make sure to check out our website and blog at totalconundrum.com for news, upcoming events, merch, bloopers, and additional hysteria. You never know what will pop up, so be sure to follow along. If you want to show your support for Total Conundrum and gain access to all of our bonus content, please visit our Patreon page. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. The links are available in our show notes. If you have any questions, comments, recommendations, or stories to share, please email us at contact@totalconundrum.com. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate the love. Keep on creeping on, mother cluckers.